Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
And I just feel like we're at the point where God's looking for hungry people. How many know God always responds to hunger, desire, passion, intents, the pursuit of God, positioning ourselves? And so this morning, it's my absolute delight to ask Alvin to come right now. And we've got some things going on that are very exciting. And actually, Sarah, I think you better come too. But it's our delight this morning to commission Alvin as our pastoral coordinator. So he will be, in effect, our 2IC. And, you know, we just have seen right from the beginning the hand of God upon this couple for the purposes of God. And the executive team and Pneuma, the global ministry team, have recognized that and have encouraged us to appoint him into that role. And so I just want to pray this morning. And Daryl, why don't you come, and the core team, anybody that's here. Actually, most of the core team are off crook at the moment. How many know this COVID going everywhere and flu and whatever else? It's just ridiculous. So I want you to stand with me and stretch your hand out towards Alvin and Sarah. Yes. And particularly as we pray for Alvin this morning. The Lord said to me through the week as I was preparing for this, Alvin, there's a fresh anointing of spiritual authority coming on you this morning. Hallelujah. It's part of this fresh mantle of God for the appointment into this role, and for the future, a new level of spiritual authority. And Father, I just call that in right now and release it over my brother. And Lord, that fresh mantle, and it comes with revelation, with insight, with understanding beyond the natural. And we just thank you for it. And Father, we thank you for this precious couple. And right now, Lord, we just set Alvin apart into this role as the pastoral coordinator of Pneuma Sunshine Coast. And Father, we just thank you for the gift and grace upon their lives. And Lord, we just believe that this is absolutely the beginning. And Lord, the future for these precious people is just incredible. And what you have for them. And Father, we just bless them today in Jesus' name. And we thank you for them, and just thank you for a fresh anointing right now. We just call it in, Holy Spirit, touch them, refresh. Lord, release them in a higher levels of your purposes, greater insight, revelation, understanding, just flowing by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it and bless them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you. Come on, give them a hand. That's great. That is awesome. And just in case I forget later, and I forgot to have it on the What's Next notices, but Daryl will be launching a woman's life group here from the second. It'll be meeting on the second and fourth Fridays of the month, beginning on the second Friday of August. And they'll be meeting here 10:30 a.m. on Friday mornings for the ladies. So we're looking forward to that launching, and there's a few other things being launched with life groups and that in the very near future. But right now, I'm going to invite Gary to come. Come on down, Gary. Now, just in case you're not aware of it, Gary and Michelle were leading a church in Kenilworth for 6 years, an ACC church, and they pastored that and led it for 6 years. And then they've done a lot in evangelism and all that kind of thing, and we just recognize the evangelistic anointing on this guy, and he's leading our outreach team at the moment, just in its infancy, getting going, the street team. But I've asked him to come and share with us for a few minutes this morning, so you can just catch something that's in his heart. And I've spoken with him a few times, and I just really love the way he talks about the whole thing of evangelism and reaching out and those sort of things. So bless you, mate. Go for it.
Thanks very much. Okay, cool. So we're all relaxed. Pretty good, praising God, and that always puts the bones in the right place in your body. So, yeah, I was just thinking of a little while back, just a few weeks back, we're out last night on the streets, a few weeks back with some guys here from church, and I just sort of share a story to put in context, the quick, I'm like an appetizer to the main meal that's coming, so we'll run with the food theme. And we met these bunch of guys from high school, actually Sunshine Coast Grammar High, five guys, and I was with you, Jason, and we're just talking to them, and we're talking about how crazy the world is, and they're all, you know, agreeing with us, these young guys, which is good news. They'd be 14, 15, and they shared a story where they said when they're talking about craziness, they said one in this school, there's this student, didn't identify, male or female, doesn't matter, who identified herself as a cat. And in the room, they made a little petition for her and a little box. And so she could at different times during the day do her cat activity there. And sometimes they said she even wore a tail. So the world we live in, even to those who are observing, know that it's a crazy world. And the reason that point was brought up is because she is deceived by seducing spirits. There is demonic activity in this place, and that knowledge she has was revelation knowledge from a demonic realm. Like, the demons come and have spoken to her and have lied to her. So with that in mind, if you see me wave my hands around a bit, that's because I work with the deaf for years, so it's hard to lay that down. My wife's a teacher for the deaf, so we do a little bit of that every now and again. So just quickly, with Matthew 16:16-19, about revelation knowledge, how amazing it is. And Simon Peter announced and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And because I'm the appetizer, we'll just sausages up and we won't try and read it all and give big points. We're just going to speak as we go run through this thing. And so Peter got it right, didn't he? Yeah. You're living with this guy Jesus and you're walking around with him, and it finally dawns on you. Thank God for our brains are sometimes slowing. You are the Christ. All right, good news, yeah. And then he goes, and then what does he go on to say then? Jesus says, "Blessed are you, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, it was a mathematical equation, and there was obviously Bible-based knowledge, but Father God from heaven spoke to him, and he said, "Hey, that guy, that's Jesus, the promised one, the Son of God." And then when he asked, he's actually quite excited. He said, "Oh no, you are. You are the one." He's excited about that fact. Jesus is worth getting excited about. Verse 18, "And I will also say this to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against." On this rock I will build my church. Now we've got the corny version of that, where you got a guy with a bunch of keys standing in heaven and every comic illustration letting people in and out of heaven, like the most basic misconception you can have of that scripture. Is it wasn't because Jesus, here's the gates, keys, what are keys associated with? That's correct, doors, gates. That's where they give you keys. And so he said, "Hey, listen, Peter, on this rock I'll build," what's it rock? The rock of revelation knowledge. Yeah. Who's not just in the church, it's in the world, and they've been revealed absolute stupidity. But the good news with that is that if we come with the revelation of Jesus Christ, they also have that capacity to receive it and to change, like they change into the realm under the influence of deceiving spirits. Us, with a revelation word of God. And it says, "And I will build this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Okay, who's seen war movies? We'll do a hand waving. Who's seen war movies? Nodding, heads good. I think we've all seen war movies, whether it be Roman times or modern times. And it goes here and says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." All right. So there's a concept, a misconception, that the enemy's coming out against us and we're going to, you know, look out, here comes the demons. And but the reality is, it's written in the very first Roman time, first century concept, of the gates won't prevail against you. There's a fortress, and they've walled themselves in, and they've shut the gates, and you, the attacking force, are coming up against them. And they are fearful that you know what you're doing, and you will come against those gates and smash them. I've yet to see a war movie where the gates come off the hinges and bash the soldiers down. Doesn't happen. Ridiculous. So the concept, that is the context of that, is that we are going up against that fort and the gates won't prevail against us. They can't keep us out. They are there to be busted down or opened with the keys that God has given us, revelation knowledge, getting there and opening that and going in. In some cases, we open them. Some cases, we don't. When 2x2 went out with Jesus, looking at the time, they just went, wow, we come back. God, Jesus is amazing. Even the demons were healing. And he said, yeah, I saw Satan fall from heaven. What's that? That's a loosing of the kingdom of God through action, doing things. When they first come into the promised land, Jericho, what did he say? Knock down the gates and get in. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. They said, no, march around it. And then the next town, AA, he said, no, get them to come out. I'm going to go through the gates this way. I've opened those gates for you this way. Takes revelation knowledge. And he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And I will build my church this way. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And it doesn't depend on how good you're living. It depends how willing we are to listen. Because he'll change my lifestyle if I listen. Yeah. Remember one time my wife and I came from Kenilworth, lived a lot of years there, the Sunshine Coast for a few years, and had some really dire circumstances with a church here, and anyhow we ended up in living in an unlined shed, and we're living there and feeling the lowest of low just a few years ago, and then our God said to us, not much because I couldn't hear him, and it was there. I had a friend who rang us from a Baptist church down south, said, hey, come and preach at our youth camp. And right about that point, I don't know if you've ever hit the church low, which is a real thing. And I just said, I don't really go. My wife, bless her heart, she said, no, you should go. It'll do you good. You should go. Well, I'll go to a youth camp. Went there. Power of God fell everywhere. I come back and went, wow, that's amazing. And while I was there, then I got a phone call off a guy, John and Kathy Osler from Toowoomba AOG. They rang us up and said, hey, Gary, I know you, my brother knows you, and we want you to come and preach at Toowoomba because God's told us that the Spirit of God's going to fall. I'm thinking, heavy duty sitting in my shed with no lining. All right. It's cool, hey, because you expect you're walking in this incredible glory. But so then I went up to Toowoomba, preached, the power of God fell down for an hour after this. Hundreds just going on. I'm coming back going, well, he heard from God. That's a revelation. It wasn't on my great credit. He heard from God. And so they said, come back and preach at a men's breakfast. I said, okay. And so they said, you have about 15, 20 minutes. Cool. Turn up. This guy was great with barbecues and ticking all this men. We're loving it. 6 minutes left. And they said, there's going to be all sorts of people there, not church people. I said, okay. So, and they said, oh, sorry, mate, only 6 minutes, just go for it. So I stood up, started to talk. And there's a guy sitting over here, had a big leather jacket on, a bikey-looking dude, big dude, found out later. And he's sitting there on his phone the whole time. And I'm talking, oh, God's this, and he can do that, and he's a miracle-working God. This guy's sitting down there, and he gets his phone, he goes, lifts it up, and he goes, yeah, well, if God's so great, why doesn't he heal my woman from getting shot with the gun that's at her head? Interrupts a meeting, that kind of comment. So I said to this guy, I looked around, and revelation knowledge saves your day. I said, come up here on the stage. He came up and said, hold your phone up. He held it up. I said, we're all going to pray for this girl that she be delivered from this circumstance. So everyone lay here. So they're all putting their hands forward and praying for this phone. And as we did, guess what? God showed up. The power of God just fell in the place. This big bikey guy sat down, put his hands in his knees. People are getting out of their chairs. It's like it's unsettling. It's not normal. There's people running to the door, the handles are there just to hit them and open the door to get out, and they're missing the handles trying to get out. So the meeting was supposed to go from 6:38 went to 10 because God was just on. You get beautifully drunk. Stunning it is. And those of you, it is stunning that God just allows his spirit to move so fully through us that it affects your person. It's stunning. And so when that finished and all of them went home, there's only three of us left, a pastor, myself and a lady in the thing. And I thought, well, that's it. That's, you know, it's 10:30, 11. We're supposed to finish. You know? And there's a knock on the front door. So I go down the front door and I look at the pump. She says, I don't know who it is. Okay. This is 20-something plus woman, good-looking girl, but obviously life had really hit her hard, tattooed, and her face was really worn. And she's half crying and breathing. She says, is this the church? Is this the church? Totally elevated, and she said, I stole this bike and rode here. The voice told me this is the church. And I realized it was the girl that this guy had, we'd prayed about, brought her in, wept. We all wept, of course. And got this lady over as you go, dealing with women, and talked and got her, settled her down, took her through the gospel. She prayed a prayer and came to Christ. And I said, stand up, so you're going to get the first man hug that has no connection. Just hugged her, she just melted into your arms because it was real. Yeah. The Jesus here is real.
Come on, that's awesome. Wow, we need to hear some more from this guy. How many know that? Thanks so much, Gary. Really appreciate that. And actually, just to let you know, too, on all the global locations from actually next weekend, we won't be starting next weekend, but from the 1st of August for 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at how to take our world. And they've got a whole thing happening around the world in the different locations. How do we take our world? Who do we bring, and all that sort of stuff? And so, but how many know that was fantastic? I was sitting there thinking, gosh, why isn't he preaching this morning instead of me? But it's right in line with where we're at and what God's been saying, and I'm very excited about it. Just to let you know, next week we have Jeff Wickland with us. Now, Jeff, actually, we baptized Jeff back in about 1983, somewhere around that, in the church in New Zealand. And actually, it was quite funny. We were baptizing his dad, and he was in the service that night. We had some people baptizing. We were baptizing his dad, and he was probably in his early 20s at that stage. And he rocked up, and he's quite a big bloke, as you will see. And he came up to me in the middle of it all and going, I want to get baptized. And he was pretty kind of in your face, and I'm going, well, are you a Christian or whatever? He said, just get me baptized, you know. And so I've been mentoring him for years. I was sort of part of his oversight. He's pastored a couple of churches. He's an international itinerant ministry with a very strong prophetic evangelistic area. Seems a lot of miracles, a lot of stuff happening. And what happened was, he contacted me a while ago and said he was coming to Australia. He travels a lot. He was coming to Australia, and it was on his heart to just make himself available. And so he's going to be here with us next week. He's a faith ministry. He doesn't have any regular income. But he said to me, I'm paying my own expenses. I just want to be with you and be available. So I want us to take him a love offering while he's here. And can I ask you to come prepared, but come with cash, because it's very hard to actually process it through the system with him in New Zealand, and you lose so much with costs and that. So if we can just give him a cash offering, that would be wonderful if you can come prepared for that. I know you're going to be blessed. On Sunday last, when Pastor Glenn was speaking, towards the end of his message, and I was just sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, it's time to take authority over the enemy's oppositions and restrictions to the growth and impact of the church. So it hit me very strongly, because as most of you know, numbers have never been a priority for me, in the sense that I know what God has promised us, and I know where we're going. The kids are just meeting outside for a moment and having a game, and then they're going to come in the room. But I've never been, because I've been conscious we're just putting down the foundation. We're only just getting going, and it's early days, and you know, people have come and gone, but we've been laying foundation, values, culture, all that sort of stuff in place. And but I believe, from what God said to me, it's time to step into the promises he's already given us. Yeah. And time to push through with that. And he began to speak to me about taking authority over the demonic spirits associated with the past and current activities that are opposing and restricting what he wants to do. It's time for us to stand up and not be passive, but to claim the promises and intercede. And there are two or three things in specific. One is primarily about the growth of the church, but it's about a harvest. God's spoken to us about harvest, people getting saved, committing their lives to Christ, and also people coming in to help serve and build teams. We need teams for the kids ministry, and youth's about to launch, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We need people to come, and so I just want to encourage you to stand with us in faith and believe God, and let's take authority over the enemy. And if you pick up anything in the spirit where you feel is opposing or restricting what God wants to do, let's just take authority over that and break that and release the purposes of God. Now, Gary didn't have any idea what I was speaking about this morning. And actually, Daryl, when she was leading pre-service prayer, didn't know much about it either. But this morning, I want to share with you about going deeper. The title of my message is Deeper. How many of you are ready to go deeper? Deeper into the things of God. And I want to kind of speak into that this morning. And we began this journey really a couple of weeks ago on July the 7th. If you weren't here, we were talking about Pentecostal distinctives. And the reality that we must never shut down the spirit of Pentecost with its distinctives and manifestations, and never compromise the flow of the river of God or the move of God to accommodate opposition and criticism and all of that kind of thing. How many know on the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, there was all sorts of crazy stuff going on, and the crowd gathered, and there were people that were critical, people that were confused, wondering what was going on. Some were even going, oh, they just drunk, and in the middle of it, all 3,000 people get saved. And really, as I said the other week, the distinctives of Pentecost, the move of the Spirit, the flow of the power and presence of God, is God's strategy for church growth. Now, we have developed, particularly over the last 30 years, a whole theology, a whole theory around how to grow your church. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to have structure and organization and this and that and the other. And actually, God is actually, and what's actually happened, those things are meant to serve the purposes of God, but in fact, they've controlled what God's wanted to do. And in so many places, I know Pentecostal churches that don't believe in speaking in tongues anymore, and they won't allow anybody to speak in tongues in their service, and they won't do this, and they won't do that. And what Gary shared before is so true, that when the Spirit of God breaks out, look out. Are you ready for it? Because often people react, and they're critical, and they're all that kind of thing going on. But we need that rushing mighty wind. We need the tongues of fire. We need the sounds of heaven and all of the evidence of the river of God. And I felt when I shared those thoughts a couple of weeks ago, that God was saying now is the time. And it's really interesting how we've had confirmation of that in several different ways. But you know, the first step towards revival is awakening. God moves in awakening and refreshing and so on. But the first thing is awakening, where he wakes us up to the fact that what we're doing, where we're going, is not the full intention of God. God has so much more. And he awakens us up to that. And repentance always prepares the way for revival, and repentance sustains revival. The awakening is about, what do I need to let go of? How many know repentance is not going, I'm sorry for sin. Repentance is a change of mind and a change of direction. It's turning away. It's turning to the Lord. And awakening comes to make me realize there are priorities in my life that are out of order. There are distractions that are keeping me from fulfilling all that God has. There's stuff that I'm involved in that need to be changed. And it's that repentance that sustains revival. It releases revival. But the question is this, for each of us individually, are we pushing into God for more, or are we just satisfied and complacent where we are? Are we waiting for God to do something, or are we believing him, standing on the promises of his word and the things he's spoken to us, and pushing in for more? Because the prayer that births revival is also the prayer that sustains revival. I don't know how many of you know the name Leonard Ravenhill. He's been gone for a few years now, but he was a very famous, very well-known author and revivalist in the States, and impacted the world. And he was also a very smart man, and his books and things like that, the records, he comes up with a lot of really insightful statements, one-liners, and one of them was, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. And he was talking about revival and the move of the Spirit. There are two things about it. The window of opportunity is only open for a limited period of time. And a move of the Spirit can be the opportunity of a lifetime. I know many Christians that have never actually, I know Pentecostal pastors that have never ever had a real move of the Spirit. It's when God comes and begins to speak to us about it and begins to move in the way that Gary was talking about a moment ago, that's the opportunity of a lifetime. It may be the only time in your life that you fully embrace and have the opportunity to fully engage with the outpouring of the Spirit. And in fact, when he spoke about this, when Leonard Ravenel spoke about it, he was speaking about it in relation to revival opportunities and outpourings that have not been sustained because people didn't grab it, didn't change, didn't engage with it and pursue what God was wanting to do. And so they had an experience, but it didn't last. And so they never impacted their region. They never changed their society. And you've got to pay the price and maintain and grow in the river and see the region impacted. You know, the signs and wonders, the miracles, the outpouring of the Spirit of God is always about a harvest of souls, because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, and his heart is always toward the lost. And I remember, you probably heard of the revival in Pensacola. Darry and I were privileged to be there on a couple of occasions. And, you know, they had a breakthrough that happened. They'd been praying for revival for 2 years. And then it was actually on a Father's Day. And the Spirit of God just broke through. It was as simple as that. But they got hold of it. And for 5 years, they were running 5 services a week at night. And we've been over to those. Sunday night, they didn't have a meeting. Monday, they didn't have a meeting. Tuesday night was a prayer meeting that we've been in that used to go to midnight or whatever. And then for the rest of the week, every night, and on Sunday morning and so on, they had revival meetings. And people had, you know, the people that were serving there were amazing. So many of them were coming. And this went for 5 years, 5 nights a week. So many were coming straight after work to the church and not leaving the church until the sun's rising in the morning very often, because the meetings would literally go all night or most of the night. And but they grabbed it, and literally thousands and thousands of people went through that place over a period of time. Huge numbers of people saved, huge numbers of people impacted and set free and healed, and all sorts of miracles and stuff going on. And I know when God moved upon us in the 90s in Westside Christian Center in Melbourne, it was a similar thing. We were running 5 meetings a week, and we weren't running all at night, somewhere in the daytime and things like that. But at the same time, there was a huge investment that people made, and not just in being there to serve, but in prayer, in taking authority over the enemy, in believing God and pushing into that and pursuing revival so that the region would be saturated with the presence and power of God. When we went into Westside in 92, and it was a church that was the only church in the western suburbs of Melbourne that had broken through to any significant size. It was the congregation was probably maxed out at about 700. By the time we got there, it had been through a difficult time. The pastor had gone off in adultery and whatever, and there was only 300 people there around about that. All the leadership had gone. The 5 pastors on staff had all resigned and gone, and it was a mess. And I said to Daryl, after we've been there for 3 months, if we don't get a move of God, they're going to carry me out of this place in a box. It was horrendous what was going on and what had gone on and what was still happening there. But when, you know, at that time, when we first got there and I checked around, the whole of that side of the city, of the west of Melbourne, from the center of the city right out, you could drive half an hour in any direction around our church into the center of the city. We were only 7 kilometers out of the CBD, and the kids are just going through the room. God bless the kids. When we checked in the region, and I want you to get this, when we checked in the region, there was no church bigger than, you know, 40 or 50 people, even Pentecostal churches and a few evangelistic churches. There was nothing had really broken through. The only large churches were Catholic churches and traditional regional churches and things like that, but there was nothing there. But when God broke out, within a short period of time, there was a huge move of the Spirit in churches all over the place out of there, and you could go there within a few short years, and there were churches with literally thousands of people in their membership. And I had people come and say, oh, you were the catalyst for that. I said, no, actually God was. We were just the vehicle that God used, and many others did. But the point I'm making is, are we hungry? Are we actually ready? And are we willing to get a hold of what God wants to do so that we see the promises he's given us for the region fully outworked? Because there's no limit to what God wants to do. How many know that every day is a new day? He says in Isaiah 43, don't remember the former things, behold, I do a new thing. Don't even call the old things to mind. And don't despise the day of small beginnings. How many know everything starts with a seed? An acorn, you know, is a very small seed, but it'd be planted in the ground and there's a big tree and thousands of acorns. And you know, that's the way God always moves. And so it's not, that's why I don't worry about numbers, because I know what God's showing me. I know what he's said, and I know that if we are faithful to what he's called us to do, there will come that point of breakthrough. And I believe we're right on the edge of it now. In fact, by the end of today, we'll see what God does. And so I want to encourage you to begin to pray. And after the Sunday on the 7th of July, and the Lord had sort of spoken to me so clearly about things, and as I was going away, I said to the Lord, and over the next couple of days I began to pray, so how do we individually and collectively step into a greater flow of the river of revival? How do we step into that? And the Lord said to me, clear as anything, that like Ezekiel, let me take you by the hand and lead you deeper. Wow. I thought, that's pretty simple. So I'm going to encourage you, ask Holy Spirit, what's the next step for me to go deeper? How do I personally go deeper into the move of your spirit? So I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel 47. And the first 12 verses, it's well known, but I want to just refocus our attention on this for a period of a few minutes. And then we're just going to move on into that. In Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. It says, then he, the man that was leading Ezekiel, he first, this man, actually a picture of God, the Holy Spirit coming to him in actually chapter 40. So for seven chapters, he's leading him through visions of the temple and the tabernacle and all sorts of different things. And then he says, then he, the Holy Spirit, brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate, led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces the east, and there was water trickling out on the right side. Most of your translations say trickling out. This is running out. And when the man went out to the east, with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, brought me through waters, and the waters came to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through waters to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through waters to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. And the river, it was a river I couldn't cross, for the water was too deep. It was water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Now, if you do the sums on that, it goes from a trickle under the door of the temple to a river that's so deep you can't walk across it in approximately 1.8 kilometers. It just explodes. That's supernatural increase. A river that he had to swim in. And verse 6, he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Brought me, returned to the bank of the river. And when I returned there along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows from the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And the sea he's talking about is the Dead Sea. And when it reaches the Dead Sea, it's called dead because nothing can live in it. It's got the Jordan River comes into the Dead Sea, but it doesn't go out. And so nothing can live there. It's a very toxic, it's full of salt, and nothing can live there. But when the river of God reaches the Dead Sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. So there's healing, there's deliverance. There will be a great multitude of fish. There's your harvest, because wherever the waters goes, they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and they will be places of spreading their nets. And just so you know, on the Dead Sea, the distance between En-Gedi and En-Eglaim is very significant. It's a huge area. And he's saying there's so many fish going to be caught that all the way down there, fishermen are going to have their nets. And the fish, it says, will be of the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. So there's not only a multitude of fish, there's a whole range of different kinds of fish. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed, they'll be given over to salt. And along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail, for they will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and the leaves for healing. How many know that's supernatural right there? You've got trees that never wither and they produce fruit every month. So the question is, how do we go deeper? Well, the two things that are priorities are, first of all, desire, and secondly, obedience. Do I really want to go deeper? Because when you get into the, how many know, have you ever been in the current of a strong river? You can't control it anymore. You're going in the flow. You got your feet off the ground. Are we ready for that? Am I really willing to let him take me deeper and let go of the need to be in control all the time? Let go of my past mindsets and concepts and preferences and my religious traditions and all the things I'm comfortable with. Am I ready to get rid of everything that's a distraction and everything that's worthless, that has no real eternal value, but it takes up a whole lot of my time and energy and focus? Now, that doesn't mean it's not right to be in business and not right to have a career. Of course it is. But in the midst of all of our lives, there can be all sorts of things that are such distractions. And those of you that are a bit older like us, you can remember the days when there was no TV and there was no social media and there was none of that stuff. And so much of that stuff, people, you know, I wonder if you ever look at your screen time and see how many hours are taken up on all sorts of rubbish. And so am I willing to really let go of what I need to let go of and get into the river and allow God to have his way with me, that I might fulfill all that I'm meant to do and be in my lifetime and see his kingdom extended? So I said before, repentance prepares the way for revival, and repentance sustains revival. In 1 Peter 4:17, Peter writes, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Holiness, the fire, we were praying before, send the fire. The fire comes first of all to cleanse us. Holiness and purity, setting us apart so that God can entrust us with his anointing, entrust us with his authority, all of that. And God is saying, I believe, I want you to get in the Spirit and stay in the Spirit. Get yourself completely immersed in the mighty river of God and stay under its life-giving influence. Don't be satisfied to just be touched by the Spirit, but allow the Spirit of God to overwhelm us and carry us into the current and flow. So let me tell you about the consequences of going deeper. If that's what we are to do, embrace the purposes of God in that way and the flow, well, what are the consequences? Well, number one is your future is about going from glory to glory. I want you to notice it says the river flows towards the east, and the man was leading him towards the east. The sun rises in the east. It's speaking of your future, of every new day. It's speaking of a flow into our tomorrows. Our future is to be directed and empowered by going deeper into the river of the Spirit and deeper in the flow, carried by the current. The trickle becomes a river, as I said before, supernatural increase. This is your future. How many know God has got a lot more for you? He's got nothing to do with your age and nothing to do with any of that. No, there's much more in the purposes of God. A much greater expression of his presence and power, his love and so on. And we read about that in Psalm 46. And we've got verse 4 and 5 up, but I want to read you from verse 1. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always present to help you in difficult times. Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, though the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea, though waters roar and are troubled, and the mountains shake with its swelling. In other words, when the world is falling apart, he's still our refuge and our strength, a present help and trouble, and we will not fear. And why? Verse 4, because there is a river. There's a river in the middle of everything going. No, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The river of God brings joy, brings freedom, brings peace, brings his presence into our life. And the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved, and God will help her just as the break of dawn. So it's like every new day. No, when everything's falling apart, there is a river. And so in other words, what are you going to look at? What are you going to focus on when the wind's falling apart? No, get in the river, because he's in the river. And the interesting thing, it's talking about the place of the tabernacle, which is Jerusalem. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but there's quite a lot of scriptures that talk about rivers and water in Jerusalem, but there is no rivers in Jerusalem. There's no waters in Jerusalem. There's no lakes in Jerusalem. It's a thing of the Spirit. It's a thing of revelation. It's a thing that you've got to catch in the purposes of God. Jeremiah 29. So I want you to notice that the stream, when you get in it, it makes you glad because of his presence, his love, his joy, his peace, and all of those kind of things. Jeremiah 29:11, you know it so well, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. This is what God thinks about you. He's thinking about you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, to prosper you and bless you. That's what he's thinking about. And then he says, and you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That's Jeremiah 29. You come down to chapter 33, and in verse 3 it says, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And it's all part of the same flow of what Jeremiah was talking about. And how many know there were no chapters or verses in the original text? It was just a continual flow. And he says in verse 3, you know, call unto me, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. It comes out of the flow of the river. And you go on down another few verses to verse 11, and it talks about what happens with the restoration and the moving of his spirit. And he says, in that place you hear the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. In other words, as you push in and you get into it, it's a place of celebration, of joy, of gladness, of the peace and presence of God. Can I say to you this morning, this is the future God has for you. How many of the world's falling apart right now? And it's going to get worse. Can I say darkness is going to get worse? But God's intention is that the light of his glory and presence in his church will go brighter and brighter and brighter. And that means in your life, as we get into the river, it becomes a place of peace and joy and celebration because of his presence and power. And as Jeremiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord's your strength. Hallelujah. So that's our future. That's the consequence of getting in the river. The other consequence of getting in the river is a huge harvest. We read about in Ezekiel 47:9-10, there'll be a very great multitude of fish. Their fish will be the same kind of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. And the focus of every move of God is always a reflection of God's heart for the lost. Revival is about getting the church to where it's meant to be, so that we do see the extension of the kingdom. We do see a great harvest of souls. And Jesus came and he died and he rose again for that real purpose. Hell is very real. I wonder how much you and I are bothered by the fact that we know people all around us that are going to hell. They're going to a lost eternity. They're bound. They're deceived. They're caught up. And we are the only answer to the world's needs. The church, the people of God. Repentance is essential. Salvation is the motivation and objective of every move of God, awakening the church to take us deeper into the flow of his presence and power in order to reach the world. And it's very interesting what it says there about the fish. There's all kinds of fish, and a whole lot of them, exceedingly many. Like I said before, they're going to spread nets between an Eglim and so on, and that's a huge area down the coast. And so what's it talking about? It's talking about, when it talks about different kinds of fish, it's talking about every age group, every cultural background, whatever it might be, a huge harvest. It's like Luke 5, verse 4 through 6, where Jesus has been teaching all day, sitting in Peter's boat. And then he stopped speaking, it says in verse 4, and he said to Peter, this is Simon, launch out into the deep. And let your nets down. How many know Jesus grew up in a town where there was no fishing? There's no water, no lakes, nothing. And he's talking to professional fishermen, teaching them how to fish. It's crazy. And Peter answers him and says, Master, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let the net down. And when they had done this, they caught a huge number of fish and their net was breaking. And how many know they had to call another boat to come and help them and so on. But the key was launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. See, there's a huge harvest waiting for those who launch out into the deep. And it's not about our efforts or our organizational strategies. The only reason for the harvest like that is that there's a river that's moving, and it's the move of the Spirit of God, the revelation of the love and power of God. But we have to launch into the depths, allow the river to carry us in its current, being obedient to the leading of the Spirit, carrying the heart of God for the lost, and we've got to let down our nets. I want you to notice it's not a fishing line, it's a net. So it's not talking about us individually with our little fishing line, it's talking about us getting together and forming a net in which we can catch a multitude of fish. So that we are supporting each other, we're working together to look after people, to care for them and reveal the love and concern of Jesus to them, and working together and sharing our testimonies, preaching the gospel, sharing Jesus. And the thing I love about it, it's not one boat, so it's not just about our church. You know, when harvest breaks out, you need everybody. And it's not about, oh, they've got to come to our church. No, let's just get them saved and get them plugged in wherever they need to get plugged in, and wherever somebody's going to care for them and love on them and disciple them after Jesus. There's a huge harvest in the river. Not only that, there's healing and miracles in the river. This is the consequence of going deeper. Your future is entirely different. You're going to be a vehicle for a huge harvest, to be a catalyst for that and a player in all of that, but also there's healings and miracles. It says in Revelation 22, he showed me, this is verse 1 of Revelation 22, John on the Isle of Patmos, he's got a revelation. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. See, it's the same picture that Ezekiel had. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. It's a river of purity. The closer you get to God, how many of you discovered he puts his finger on things in your life that are out of order? Why? Because the river is a river of purity. So what he's doing and what's flowing from the throne needs to come through pure vessels, so it's not distorted. So that when the river flows out of us, it's still a pure, clear river. The river of God flowing out of us. And holiness that leads to life. And we, how many know the Bible calls us trees of righteousness? It's talking about trees. They're planted in the river. If we are planted in the river, we will be fruitful every month. continual fruitfulness. Ezekiel 47 and verse 12 says, we read it before, the leaves will not wither and fruit will not fail. For the whole of our lives, we can be vitally alive, vibrant, and fruitful and effective, regardless of age and circumstances. Just get in the river, stay in the river, going deeper and deeper. And the leaves of the trees are for healing of the nations. It's interesting when God talks about His kingdom and the salvation of souls, so much in the scripture is about cities, regions, and nations. His vision is much bigger than ours. We get excited over one person, and to get it in quite order, heaven rejoices wildly over one person. So should we. So I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't celebrate a person committing to Christ, but I want you to know God's intention is not one person or one family or one whatever. No, we read the other week in Acts chapter 9 where a miracle happens. Peter raises a cripple back to life, and two whole towns turn to the Lord. And that's the idea. And so that's why you hear me talk about the coast. I know what God wants to do on the coast. And it's not all about us, but we can be a catalyst if we will step in. If you and I will get together to embrace everything that God intends and allow the river to flow, well, then not only will there be a great harvest, but there's going to be healing and miracles and all of that kind of thing. I could spend the rest of the day talking about the incredible healings and miracles that we've personally seen. People set free and transformed, and creative miracles, crazy things. But it's really interesting. Just this week, it was actually on Tuesday, I got a message from a guy, and he's a young guy. I first met him when he was probably about 20 years of age, and he was the youth pastor of a church in the South Island of New Zealand, but he was going through a really bad time, and I've sort of been coaching him ever since. And he's now in a church in Tauranga in New Zealand, which is about 2.5 hours south of Auckland on the east coast. And he has a business, he has a coffee lounge, but at the same time he runs their Bible school, and he's now selling his business to go full time with that. He runs the Bible school, and the church, and they run encounter meetings, and they're really pushing into the move of the Spirit over just recent months. And he sent me a message saying that in their encounter meeting on the weekend, there was a guy came with stage 3 cancer. And he was in a really bad way. And he got totally healed in the meeting, and nobody even prayed for him. the presence and power of God, the river's flowing, and he gets totally healed. Just caught up. How many up for that? Oh gosh, that's my prayer. God, come that you might get all the glory. That's what miracles and signs and wonders are about. Our God is a God of miracles, a God of the unusual, a God of the impossible. There is a river here, and it's flowing with life-giving flow. It's a life-giving flow. And then on top of that, not only just healings and miracles, but also signs and wonders. And I love what it says in Isaiah 8:18. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel. Can I say to you, you are for a sign and wonder here on the coast. Come on, somebody. You are for a sign and wonder. How does that happen? The signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. So in other words, there's amazing signs and wonders and miracles await us in the river of God. It's a river of glory. His power, His presence, and lives are to be signs and wonders. I believe our life should be reflecting the goodness of God, every aspect of life, all of our lives. The way we do life should be a reflection of the hand of God upon us, His grace and mercy and so on. And there are all sorts of signs and wonders that happen in miracles. One of the things that I've heard about a lot of revival places. I haven't seen a lot of it ourselves. We did have a little bit in Melbourne, but it's gold dust falling. I don't know how many of you ever heard of that, but in revivals, it's not unusual for people's face to be suddenly covered in gold dust, or people have gold dust on their hands. I've seen people with, the other thing that drops out of the sky is dove feathers of a dove. I've heard so much of that. Haven't seen a lot of that either. I have seen a little bit of it, but oil dripping off people's hands, I've seen a lot of that. I've seen oil running down people's faces. We've seen the wind of heaven where it just goes around the building. We've seen that a few times, and unusual and audible sounds of the voice of God, people dancing and shouting and praising God as they're overwhelmed with His presence and His love, people laughing and overwhelmed with the powerful healing flow of the joy of God. I think, to be honest with you, laughing in the Holy Ghost is probably one of the most healing, refreshing things I've ever experienced in my life. I'm not promoting the manifestations, but so often what happens is people judge others. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They sit in judgment when they see them overwhelmed with the presence of God and the power of God, the moving of the Spirit. And I've heard people go, oh, it's just their flesh. Well, that's what the people said on the day of Pentecost. Oh, they just drunk. But then what I found happened, which is pretty interesting, so often those same people themselves get overwhelmed by the presence and they find themselves doing the same thing that they were criticizing others of doing. And now they're going, oh, no, it's definitely God. And I can remember seeing people like that before. And can I say, come on, let's not sit in judgment and all of those kind of things. Rejoice in the transformations that are taking place in people's lives through the manifestations. And the reality is, who are we to question God in what He does in the move of His Spirit? He's the potter, we're the clay. So if we just go deeper and really pursue what God is wanting to do in the flow of His Spirit, then all of those things around it that are in the river begin to unfold in and through our lives. And if we allow the intensity of the flow of the Spirit to flow through us, as Jesus said, out of your belly, then everybody around us gets blessed. People get saved. How many know you and I have been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, that's talking about demons, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. But we have to exercise that. We have to step into that. The river is there. There is a flow of the Spirit around the world that at the moment is just outstanding, breaking out in many places with literally thousands of people committing their lives to Christ. I think I mentioned it the other week. There's been quite a few photos up of like huge crowds of people meeting in the center of cities, walking for Jesus and having worship times. There were 70,000 people in the middle of London. There was a similar crowd in the middle of Paris. There's been a lot of other places where just people just gathering. And I've never seen the numbers that they're talking about in my life. I've never heard of the thousands of people being water baptized that are now. And the point is, we can be satisfied with where we are, and we can sit where we are, and we can thank God for what we've got. But I tell you, it's time for us to quit that and to start pushing in now, to start believing in from what He's promised us right from the beginning. It's always been about revival and the move of His Spirit. So finally, ask Holy Spirit, how do I personally go deeper? What are the next steps I need to take? Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I respond to you at this moment in time to fully embrace all that you intend? And see, one of the things we need to be very clear about is the river is only seen by revelation. It's not talking about a physical river, a natural river. It's a thing of the Spirit. Ezekiel, in the vision he had, it was a vision. It's a supernatural thing. It's a revelation. It wasn't a real river. It's the same with John on the Isle of Patmos. When he writes in Revelation 21 and 22, he writes about the river that's in heaven. And it's the same thing. It's a revelation. It's not a real thing. It's a revelation. So we see the river as we catch the revelation in the Spirit of God, but then we have to lay hold of it by faith. We can see it, but now we have to go, okay, I'm believing for that. I want to step into that. I want to see a harvest that changes our world. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles that bring glory to your name. And I can't do any of that, neither can you, but we can flow in the purposes of God. How many know there are gifts of the Spirit that reveal so much of that, release so much of that for us? But the thing is, it starts off in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. So do we earnestly desire? Am I lining myself up and crying out, Holy Ghost, let me function in the gifts? You know, the gift of miracles, the gift of faith, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gifts of healings. And I want you to notice it's multiple gifts of multiple healings, plural gifts, plural healings. There's healing for everything, and there's all sorts of different expressions of the gifts of healing. Words of knowledge, words of prophecy, words of wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit. How many know if we just plug into that, a whole lot of stuff changes right there? And when it says earnestly desire, it talks about being boiling hot, actually on fire. So it's a real earnest desire of pressing into Holy Spirit and saying, how many know in the middle of conversations, we need words of knowledge. If we are talking with people and they've got stuff, we need insight beyond the natural. I need to be listening to Holy Spirit in the midst of everything else I'm doing. So I felt what the Lord was saying to me, that we need to just put on some background music, just some instrumental worship music that's been going all the time, and that we need to individually, if you're willing to, if you're hungry, if there's a desire, and if there's a commitment to being obedient to what the Lord wants you to do, is just start asking Holy Spirit, how do I go deeper? So come on, stand with me. Just turn that up a little bit. And why don't you just reach out? Worship is not about singing songs. It's about leaning into His presence, expressing our love, our desire for Him. So right now, you just lift your hands and reach out and you ask Him for yourself. Holy Spirit, take me by the hand and lead me deeper. What steps do I need to take to go deeper? And Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come right now. Let the river flow. Let the river flow in and through people's lives. The river of your presence, of your power. Take us deeper, Lord. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Hallelujah. Seek us.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.